Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of the really big deals of my rock and roll youth was when The Doors brought out an extended version of Light My Fire. Now, of course, most pop songs are in the 3 to 4 minute range, partly because that's what fits radio broadcast times, but also partly because that's what fits on the single side of a 45 RPM record and the other recorded media that preceded it. So 3 minute to 4 minute songs became the standard. And then The Doors came out with Light My Fire, an extended version that was like 8 minutes or something like that. I forget now exactly, but it was mind-boggling. It was revolutionary. It was a bit of an anarchy. And the only way you could hear the full song was to buy their LP, because LPs can have roughly 20, 25 minutes on a side. And so it was a rebellious act on The Doors' part to have a song that had more than 3 or 3.5 minutes in length. As I grew a little older, began to be interested in photography, I spent a lot of time thinking about media and conventions. For example, most classical symphonies are roughly in the 40-minute length. If you made one that was 12 minutes, it would be considered too short. If you made one that was 2.5 hours, it was extraordinarily long. So there's conventions that are involved. And I think there are conventions in photography, too. Those showed up in my early photography days by the size paper we would purchase. The common sizes were 5x7 for small prints, 8x10 for bigger prints, 11x14 for giant prints, and only a few rare individuals, people like Ansel Adams and whatnot, dared go all the way up to 16x20. That required a whole bunch of capabilities that most photographers didn't have, not including the size of the darkroom, trays that were big enough to develop 16x20 paper, print washers that were big enough to wash 16x20 paper. So most of us made smaller prints. And it wasn't until later that larger prints became more common. And along with that came the ever-present question, which you and I have to answer every single day when we make a print, is how big should we make this print? And there's all kinds of thoughts about this that can impact our decision about how big a print we should make. But regardless of our philosophical approach to that question, it's still a question that crops up every single time we make a print, even here in the age of digital printers, inkjet printers, and etc. You still have to buy paper that's appropriate for your printer, and you have to buy a printer that's appropriate for the print size you want to make. If you want to make 42 or 44 inch prints, you have to have a printer that's big enough to be able to do that. I'm not aware of anybody who has tried to glue or stitch together somehow bigger prints from smaller printers. I suppose theoretically it could be done, but I've never seen it done. So one of the first decisions we have to make if we're going to print our work is what size printer to buy. And that's an economic decision as well as an aesthetic one. How do we make decisions about how big a print we make? Well, some say that's determined by the subject. Certain subjects work better as small prints. Other subjects work better as big prints. Other subjects work better as giant prints. Maybe. Although I've said for years that the most common way that most of us see photographs is not original prints. It's through books. And books have a definite size that is sort of standard, a coffee table book or an art book, that are relatively small. And often these days, the reproductions we see in books are smaller than the original prints. And in fact, that's the way a lot of photographers differentiate between the high-quality images we can see in books and the high-quality images we can see in prints, is that the prints can be much bigger than the books can ever be. Well, with the exception of Helmut Newton's Smo book, which was huge. But that's the exception that proves the rule, I guess. Most photographers these days make giant prints as their original artwork, because that's clearly different than a book with its relatively small sizes. But that being said, what's the difference between an 8x10 image in a book and an 8x10 image in an original print? There's not much other than collectability and value in the marketplace. Which is the next thing that occurs to me is that there are many photographers that propose that the print size is determined by the market. This is the price per square inch crowd, that the bigger the print, the higher the price, and the higher the price, the more the photographer earns, the more the gallery earns. And so there's a push to make bigger and bigger prints simply because it makes more money. But what if you're not interested in money? What if your engagement with photography is not primarily based on commerce? For a lot of us, there's no commerce involved in our photography. We do it for the thrill of doing it, not because we intend on selling work or not because we're represented by a gallery, etc. So how does the price per square inch philosophy pertain to our work? Well, it really doesn't. There's no motivation to make bigger work because we're not selling our work or we're not pursuing sales of our work. So maybe a different criteria than price has to be invoked when we're trying to figure out what size print we make. So far, there are two criteria for how big a print you're going to make. One is what's affordable in terms of darkrooms, printers, paper, ink, etc. And two, the marketability of the image and how big it's going to be. But there's one flaw in the price per square inch argument that continues to crop up more and more, I hear it these days, and that is people don't have room for giant prints. Either their walls are already filled with artwork, and lots of it smaller artwork, or they're downsizing their home because they're retirement age or whatever, and so they miss a bunch of wall space that they used to have when their residence was larger and they had more square feet on the walls to display larger artwork. And then there's the factor that if you do have space for large prints, you have to make a choice. Do you put one large print on the wall in the space that you have for it, or can that same space have 4 or 6 or 8 prints? And so the larger the print and frame and etc., the fewer number of pieces of artwork you can display in a gallery exhibition, on your wall, in your home, in your office, whatever. But if you want to think about print size a little differently, here's my take on it that I never hear anybody talk about. And that is that a print size should not be determined by the limitations of your printer or your darkroom, nor should it be influenced by the marketing, the sale price, price per square inch philosophy. But maybe there's another criteria for determining the size of the print. And for me, that's the emotional impact. I think we should size our prints for the maximum emotional impact. And in some cases, that's going to be a giant print. In some cases, it's going to be a big print. And in an awful lot of cases, it's going to be a medium or small print. That is to say, somewhere between 4x5 and maybe 16x20 or 13x19 or something like that. When you look at a print that's 8x10 and you get X amount of emotional impact out of it, if you look at its bigger cousin, same image, same printing, but let's say 16x20, if you don't get any additional emotional impact from the 16x20 than you do from the 8x10, then you haven't really accomplished anything by making the print bigger. I guess what I'm proposing as a philosophy is don't make the prints any larger than they need to be to maximize the emotional impact. Sometimes that's going to be very tricky and difficult to determine because your emotional impact may be different than someone else's, and so it's not a mathematical thing that you can calculate and nail perfectly every time. But the essence of my thinking is don't make it any bigger than it needs to be, because all that does is make it more expensive, which means fewer people can afford your prints. It means it's going to cost you a lot more money to produce it. There's a lot more materials, printers, paper, ink, etc., that's not adding anything to the effectiveness of the artwork. If a print is bigger than it needs to be and you put it on your wall, it's maybe consuming real estate on the wall that could be used for other prints that have emotional impact. So the bigger print isn't necessary to make the appropriate emotional impact. And then there's the problem that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So if you have one large print on your wall rather than four smaller prints, let's say, the four smaller prints have four times the potential of connecting with someone who's going to see a print and say, wow, that's really great. That's really impactful. I connect with that image. And the more images you can show, the greater the odds are that you will connect with someone. But that's not the end of the story, because another aspect of making bigger and bigger prints is they become technologically more and more demanding. Giant pieces of paper that hold your print require much bigger workspace, a much higher megapixel camera, better lenses, better technique, more solid tripods, etc. Every time you increase the size of a print, it becomes a technological challenge that underlies that decision. For a lot of photographers, that's part of the fun, is overcoming the technological challenges. I understand that. In which case, then you've disconnected the idea of print size from emotional impact and connected print size with the fun of the challenge of producing it. That's perfectly legitimate. I understand that. But there are some photographers, I suppose I have to admit, I might be one of these. Matter of fact, I probably am one of these, for whom the technological challenge is not much of a reward. When something works, I'm relieved that it works, but it's not the reason I make it. I make it because I'm trying to do something artistic that's personally expressive. And if I can accomplish that in a smaller print, that's easier to make, that consumes less materials, that's less expensive to share with people or for them to purchase, then I'm all for that. And I don't get a thrill because I was able to successfully make a 16 by 20 print. It may be more difficult. There may be some rewards in overcoming those difficulties. But then again, maybe not if that's not what juices your jets. If you love the technological challenge, then there's no limit to how big you might want to make a print. On the other hand, if what you're interested is in emotional connection and the emotional impact of your artwork, then that sends you off in a different kind of pursuit, a different mindset when you photograph, when you print, when you create your work. You're trying to accomplish something that's disconnected from size and more connected with aesthetics and emotional impact. My thoughts on this have recently been refined a little bit because of this, a silly little story, but I'll share it here because it's kind of fascinating to me, is I was given as a gift about 1,000 sheets of 4x6 inch photo paper. They're like postcard size. It was a very nice gift. I was happy to receive it, and I thought, okay, what am I going to do with all of this 4x6 inch photo paper? So just for grins, as a bit of an experiment, I started playing around with making little 4x4 inch prints, square format prints, on the 4x6 inch paper, which left me just enough room on the bottom of the paper to write something, an observation, a poem, a quote, a comment, and I'm calling this project Field Notes. The idea being that it's not just a picture, but it's a picture with text that hopefully combine and communicate something more than either the text or the print would do. It's part of that experiment of image and text. So I made a few dozen of these things, different images with text, and I discovered a couple of fascinating things. Number one is I had a few images that I absolutely loved, but for some reason or another, I couldn't make a large print out of them. Maybe they were just a little bit soft. maybe because of diffraction, maybe because I didn't have quite enough depth of field, maybe because the focus was just a little bit off. And so as an 8x10 or a 13x19 or certainly as a 17x22-inch print, they fell apart. They just didn't work. The technical flaws became visible. But as a 4x6-inch print, or the square 4x4-inch prints that I'm doing, at that size, they look perfectly great. They look sharp. They look beautiful. And so I was able to use some images that had slight technical flaws in a smaller print size that I thought was fascinating. Second thing is I put these together in a group, and I've now taken them around and shown them to lots of people in various social settings. And I'm fascinated how these connect with them. They'll take the pile of prints and they'll go through every one and read every one. And invariably, they'll find two or three that just really connect with them. And they want to know if they're for sale or if I'm going to do a book of these that they could buy. They seem to connect with people in a way that's much stronger than I've been able to observe with other larger media. The closest thing I've seen to this is how people respond to folios and chapbooks, which is why I'm involved in folios and chapbooks, which again are smaller prints, but there's that physicality aspect of folios and chapbooks and now field notes where people are handling them and they get them close and they look at them more keenly than they do something entombed behind glass framed and on the wall that melds into the decor of the room. With this, they're looking purposefully. They're reading purposefully. And the connections that they're making to the work seem to be much stronger. And so my first thought was, well, okay, if field notes work as a 4x6-inch paper idea, maybe they'll work better if I make them bigger. And they don't. As a matter of fact, they're less impactful when they're made in a bigger size. At least that's my observation as I've shown people alternative sizes. The small size with handwritten text appears to be a sweet spot. That is to say, a sweet size that people appreciate. Are they serious artwork? Are they collectible artwork? Are they commercial artwork that people are going to want to buy? I don't think so. But they're all kinds of fun. That takes me back to the philosophy, size the print for the emotional impact and don't make it any bigger than is necessary for the emotional impact. The Mona Lisa is a very small painting, but it's got a tremendous emotional impact. Hokusai's Great Wave off Kanazawa is a small print. It's barely bigger than 8x10, but it has such an emotional impact and has had for people now for a couple of hundred years. It's one of the most reproduced images on the planet, but yet it's relatively small in size. I guess what I'm suggesting is if you can impart your emotional content in a small print, and it doesn't magnify as you make a larger and larger print, then the larger and larger print is not accomplishing anything. It's just getting bigger, which may be exactly what you want, like I say, if you're interested in the technological challenge or the commercial return on investment. But if what you're interested in is making personally expressive artwork, a small size might be just as effective as a larger size. And finally, maybe one last way I can illustrate this point is Lenswork. We've done 170 issues of Lenswork now. We've produced 8 Lenswork Community annual book projects, none of which have an image that's bigger than 5x7. Yet I know from readers, from subscribers, from people who renew year after year after year, that the images that are included in Lenswork in our books do have an emotional impact. That's why people want them. That's why they keep them. That's why Lenswork isn't tossed out after 30 days. Most people want them on their bookshelves because they value the images in them, and I'm grateful for that. But it also kind of proves my point that an image doesn't have to be large in order to connect with someone's heart. So thankfully, we can make any size print we want. You can make 8-foot prints. You can make 8-inch prints. You can make an 1/8 inch print. They're all valid media in the realm of photography. So I guess what I'm suggesting is maybe when you go to make that decision, it's worth thinking through why you're interested in making a print of a certain size, big or small, and make that size determination based on what most makes sense for the objectives you have in mind as you produce the work. Commerce, technical challenge, and emotional impact appear to be 3 ways to think carefully about print size. Recently, I've been pleasantly surprised how emotionally impactful very small prints can be.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.